Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. Contrary to popular belief, it's not that by hammering away at something that a child necessarily understands. Yes, certainly, in order for a deaf or harder hearing child to understand language, she needs to hear that language form or that vocabulary more frequently than a child her age with typical hearing. That is the nature of the hearing loss. But we need to go a little deeper than that. And what we need to understand is it's not just the quantity, but it is that quality of feeding in that language. Therein lies the enrichment. The quality means that we bring in variety. So as we discussed, it's really important to bring variety into the way in which we engage. It might be the same toy.
Right.
But can't be that we're playing with the toy the same way every day. Why not? Yeah.
Because she'll lose her interest.
Correct.
And she'll feel that this toy is only limited to certain things which my mom is doing.
Exactly.
So she cannot think otherwise that this toy is like, you know, you can do anything with the toy. You can expand on that toy itself.
So now she will not get banned by the cow.
Yeah.
Now, how are we going to do it differently? Because a cow is a cow.
Yeah, so I thought about that. Like, you know, maybe I can get some grass and I can show her that the cow eats grass. And then I can show her, get small bucket or something like that, and that we are collecting her milk. And like she's having, the cow is having four legs as opposed to like, you
that's
know,
a bit of a jump. I think that's a fantastic idea. Okay.
Right.
But I think
for her age,
not so much her age, but in terms of her learning, these are still early days, right? This is the first month post switch on. So it's a lit because we are not sure that she's even detecting the performative of the cow, right? So can we think of something else that's at the same level but a different presentation of the cow? How about we do this? We have the cow, and maybe today I introduce the cow as a toy.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is the cow that goes moo moo, and I want you to use that tone now, even when you're talking to me, to get used to using a parentese aspect, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now tomorrow when I play with the cow with my daughter, I might pull out a t-shirt that has a cow on it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. The third day it might be bed sheets that have it.
Okay.
The fourth day it might be a cow, the picture of a cow in a book.
Yeah.
Okay. The fifth day I might come back to the toy. And then talk about the fact that its tail goes swish, swish.
Okay.
Okay, because that's something that the child can relate to. I'm not sure a child in the first month of device activation would actually understand that the cow has four legs. Because I don't know my numbers. I don't know what my leg is. Whereas the tail that goes swish.
Right.
Right? The sound. So the whole thing is to attract the child and to engage her and to hold her attention with my voice.
Right.
That is the trick. And that is what parentese is. That is the change in the intonation and the sing song. But that comes naturally. I know that comes naturally to you. Because you're the mother, right? And the father. Given. Yes.
Listening to parents, families, and friends talking to their young children with typical hearing is often such a treat. They talk to them with abandon, and there is both a richness and a redundancy to that exchange which is remarkable. No wonder then that their little ones, young as they are, chirp away, and their retorts, questions, and quips have everyone laughing, spreading the gaiety. That is the result of abundance. Abundance brings gaiety, and that's what we want for our children who are deaf or hard of hearing. So the question I want to pose and discuss in this episode is, what holds us back when we engage with our baby or toddler or young child who is deaf or hard of hearing? Is it that background reverberation of deaf? Deaf, hearing loss, that is so smothering that we hold back, and there is always that niggling doubt, is she going to understand? And to go back to the point I raise in episode 5, where Warren Estabrooks and I have a conversation about conversation, and my point there is that parents or adults interacting with babies, toddlers, and young children with typical hearing are not stalked by the doubt of, is she not going to understand? So how do we free ourselves from this self-imposed yoke? What I do want to discuss in this episode is, allow the exchange with your baby, toddler, or young child who is deaf or hard of hearing to be a heart-to-heart exchange. Because when that happens, one is so focusing on what it is that one wants to communicate that the words, the sentences, and the richness just comes tumbling out in a volley. And there is an automatic receptivity in our little one because she is interested, because we are talking about something that is of interest to her. Maybe it's the dog that came sniffing, or it's the butterfly that suddenly flew into view, or it's her favorite snack that just fell out of her hands, or the ball that rolled out of reach. That is what is engaging her currently, and that's what we need to talk about. Now, there's a fine balance here that we need to maintain, especially as our baby grows up, that it's not about just chasing whatever it is our child wants to talk about. It is also about staying on target. So we do want to be able to engage our child in a heart-to-heart exchange, be spontaneous, reacting to the child's queries or questions or reactions in the moment, but we also want to stay true to our target at that point in time. And if this is sounding very theoretical or very airy-fairy, let's pin it down with a solid example, which is why I am so delighted to invite Rashi Sanghi back into conversation with me. Rashi has partnered me in episodes before, and here we are having a discussion on how we can impart to our child an understanding of the adjective happy, and this with a child who is not quite 2 years old, profoundly deaf and cochlear implanted. So have a listen. Let's just go back a little bit to happy. What are the other situations in which we can talk about, oh, you're feeling happy, or that made me happy, or I'm so happy, aren't you? What are the kinds of situations that we could use that for?
For happiness.
Papa's coming home early today. Aren't you happy?
Okay.
Just, there must be so many other examples in the day that
picture. Like, for example, when we give her favorite foods or something, she gets very happy. Like, you know, finally you're giving me something that I like or something like that.
So how would we do it now? Now that we are wiser, how do we use it?
Like her grandfather, he gives her a piece of chocolate every day in the morning. So she gets very happy whenever he does that. So we can use that.
How would we use it?
So we can say that something here. Oh, you're feeling so happy that Baba gave you a piece of chocolate. Or, you know, you are.
I know you're happy now. You know, just different ways to say the same thing. So one day you might use one form, another day you might use another form, but it's always containing the word happy. And the result is that because you're using different forms and it's coming from the heart, she understands it immediately. But she also gets to hear different forms of language to convey the same emotion. So her comprehension of language just becomes so much richer. Her whole experience with spoken language just becomes so much more enriched.
Okay. This makes you happy.
Or something's going to happen that's going to make you very happy. What do you think it is? And maybe she'll say chocolate.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know what I mean? Maybe.
But yeah, because it's her thing. Like, she goes over there, she sits over there, and she knows that she'll be fed a chocolate.
Exactly. So the anticipation is there. The anticipation is there. The expectation is there. So now let's give the language that provides the comprehension.
Yes.
Yeah?
Perfect.
Just keep it natural and don't worry about whether she's going to understand. The point is that the situation is going to give her the comprehension. That's the point.
Okay.
Yeah?
Got it.
Lovely. And like you heard in that exchange, on, for example, helping our toddler understand happy or the feeling of being happy and linking that feeling to the adjective happy, is to use it in a variety of situations through your day, but also in a variety of ways, rather than just labeling something as I'm happy or you're happy. Firstly, link it to a situation. And when you see her genuinely happy and say, oh, look at you, you're so happy. And then, like I say in the exchange that I had with Rashi, Papa's coming home early today. That's going to make you so happy. And then when she actually sees her father and starts running to him or is in his arms, you can add it in again. Oh, look at you, you're so happy. And daddy or papa is happy too. So it is using that word happy in the context of a situation that is meaningful, but always in a sentence, rather than just going happy, 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 I'm happy, he's happy, she's happy, you're not happy. That very kind of unidimensional interchange, which is so restrictive and stunts the opportunities that would otherwise automatically flow from that if we were engaged in a heart-to-heart exchange. Not to mention the very quick learning that would happen within your child, because it is in the moment that she is experiencing that emotion that you are verbalizing it for her, facilitating that immediate in-the-moment comprehension. Now, that doesn't mean that having done that once, she's going to understand. And then when you use it again 3 days later and she looks blank, you're kind of berating yourself or your child and saying, what's the matter with you? We've done happy. Why haven't you learned it? Well, of course she hasn't learned it, because then coming back to my point is that we need the quantity and we need the quality. We need the frequency of usage, which is the quantity, but we also need that abundance. And by abundance, we mean variety. All of which is allowing us to use that form in a natural context. Going back to the conversation that Warren Estabrooks and I had in episode 5 on conversation. So it's all just tying it all in together. That makes the difference, that facilitates learning, and that transfers to your child that abundance of understanding, because you have generalized the use of that form, you have generalized the meaning of that form, you have generalized the contexts within which that form is applicable. And so it is through the generalization that our child understands spontaneously. And we are so proud and we are so wonderstruck that how amazing she is. Well, yes, she is amazing, but so are you, because you have been able to tie in that generalization into all aspects of your day, bringing in that enriched language input that we so need for our deaf and hard of hearing children. Thank you so much for staying engaged and for your attention and time and for listening to this episode all the way to the end. The one thought I'd like to leave you with is when we communicate with our deaf or hard of hearing baby, toddler or young child from the heart, we free ourselves of the yoke of self-doubt. And in that moment, there is comprehension by our little one, way beyond our expectation, because that interchange that we just facilitated was tied to something that was meaningful to our little one in that moment. When content is meaningful, I want to listen, and I do understand. Coming up on the next episode on this podcast is a highly relatable topic. Does my child understand? So park all your doubt, self-doubt, limitations, and come have a listen. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.